enjoying the music on Radio Dart today. We had an amazing time last week listening to Dr. Rock. His show is just superb, and the metalers up in the Midlands absolutely adore what he does. And we had to get him out of bed, though. He's been tucked away for most of the winter doing sod all. And somebody else who's been tucked away during the winter, maybe not doing sod all, he's probably been really busy, is our local councillor. Hey up, Chuck.
Hey, hello.
How are you doing? We've got David Gent. David Gent knows more about jazz than anyone in the world, so I really am looking forward to this programme. But where have you been?
I've been hiding. I've been ill.
What's been wrong?
Chest infection. So I've been laying down listening to jazz.
He's been laying down listening to jazz. He hasn't been looking after himself. We're in for a fantastic show, David. You've chosen some amazing sounds for tonight. Of course, we've got the JJ Jazz Band locally. The guys are playing regularly now in Radio Dart. Have you heard them recently?
I know them very well. I tend to avoid them. Ruffians, absolute ruffians.
Well, not like the old days where, you know, all the jazz fans in the West End were snorting cork. I saw it on Mr. Selfridge.
So it must be true, yes, if absolutely. You saw it on TV, it's got to be true.
Okay, let's have a track and then we'll get into the show. What have you got?
Okay, what I'm going to do today is all British jazz. I think I threatened this one of my previous shows. And it's just to show the wide variety of it. There's going to be some trad jazz, there's going to be some modern jazz, and there'll be some I won't even classify. And my motto for tonight is, if you don't like a track, sit tight, because something else will be along in a minute. So we're going to start off with the grandfather, the best-known British jazz musician there's ever been, and a thoroughly nice bloke, Humphrey Lyttelton. And this is his band playing Bad Penny Blues. Bad Penny Blues by Humphrey Lyttelton. Now, we're going to do a little competition now. I only raised this with Stephen earlier on, and I'm not sure whether it's a cup of coffee or a bottle of champagne that's the prize. But two questions about Bad Penny Blues. The first person who can come into the Dart Cafe and answer both will win some sort of prize. The first question is, which film was Bad Penny Blues featured in? And the second question, which pop group nicked the bass line of Bad Penny Blues for one of their biggest hits? So that's all you've got to do, answer both of those, and Stephen will give you a surprise. Okay, we're going to move on now to a totally different sort of record. This is by a band called the Jazz Couriers. When I was a young lad, when I was at grammar school, I went to the Jazz Appreciation Society, and we had one of those things where you take in the records you've most recently bought. So I took the Jazz Couriers in, and I was in an audience full of Acca Bilk and Chris Barber fans who love banjo playing and things like that, and they thought it was the worst thing they'd ever heard. Well, it's not. It's probably going to be the best thing you've ever heard. The Jazz Couriers features Ronnie Scott and Tubby Hayes as twin tenor men, and it is an astonishing performance. It's called Through the Night. It runs the Overland Express. We'll be right back. Okay, that was the Jazz Couriers. The band broke up after only a few months, unfortunately, but Tubby Hayes went on to become one of the best-known jazz musicians in Europe and was making a big name for himself in the States. He wasn't really called Tubby, of course. He was James Edward Hayes, but he was known as Tubby or Tubbs because of his svelte figure. As a tenor sax player, I think he was second to none, and I think most people grow more fond of his playing as we get older. He also played the vibes, he also played flute, he also played drums. Unfortunately, he also drank with great avidity, and he also had a little bit of a habit. Unfortunately, he was inclined to sniff stuff and inject stuff and to have affairs with ladies who were married to other people. And eventually, he died on the operating table at the age of 39 because his heart just gave out. But despite all of that, here he is playing Dance of the Arrowphygates.
Loving this, and something that I've been doing recently is, you know, spending a couple of hours in front of the television watching Mr. Selfridge. So I'm getting a sense of what life was like, you know, particularly for shop assistants and people on the streets of London, you know, after the war. Well, it's set, I mean, the whole thing is set throughout the late 19th century and early 20th century. But one of the things that really struck me was that, you know, the jazz clubs after the war, you know, filled with people, and there was a serious drugs problem in those days.
Well, there was. They weren't actually what I would call jazz clubs. Most of them were playing cabaret music. They were nightclubs. Jazz musicians played in them because they couldn't get gigs anywhere else. The first actual jazz club to open in London was the Feldman Rhythm Club, which is a lovely name, isn't it? And it was in 100 Oxford Street, which is still being used to this day as a club. Unfortunately, these days it's been down for the people like the Sex Pistols who've been playing there. But it started out as a jazz club, and it was the home for a child prodigy called Victor Feldman. Feldman played the vibes. His old man actually bought the premises, turned it into a rehearsal room during the day, but he ran the club in the evening just so that Victor had somewhere to perform. And so you had the Feldman Trio always on every night. It didn't matter who else was on the bill. And I think when Victor Feldman started playing there, he was 12 years old. But he went on to become enormously famous in the United States. He moved there when he was in his early 20s. Played with Cannonball Adderley, played with all sorts of people. Good composer. Died about 10 years ago, something like that. This is Victor at his best playing vibes. It's a very early British modern jazz record, which was originally on the Tempo label. And this is called Jackpot. That was Victor Feldman playing Jackpot. Just to go back to Stephen's point about drugs, they were a little mini problem at one time in London jazz clubs. And I think part of it was that, certainly in the 50s, a lot of these drugs weren't actually illegal. And there's a very famous story about one or two, I won't name the musicians, but a group of British bebop musicians used to play in London and always get the night bus home. And they would smoke dope on the bus on the way home, which was legal. Then one day it was made illegal and they were all done. And I think these very respectable young jazz musicians spent two nights in prison. We'll move on to a much more respectable person, though, and that's George Chisholm. George was, some of you might remember from the Black and White Minstrel Show, which is probably the depths of his popularity. But he was a very, very good dance band musician who played with just about everybody, including the Goons. If you've got the record I'm Looking Backwards, Walking Backwards for Christmas, have a look at that, because he plays a very, very bad trombone solo on it. This band never existed in the flesh. There's just a studio outfit. It's called George Chisholm's Tradsters. Eight very, very senior dance band musicians getting together for a bit of entertainment. But listen out for the singer, who is a young lady called Jeannie Lamb. Jeannie is now in her late 70s, but in her heyday, Melody Maker called her the British Jazz Bardo. And she was extremely attractive, an extremely good singer. Just does one chorus here, but it's worth hearing. This is called I Want a Big Butter and Egg Man. It was written by Louis Armstrong. And just for the record, a butter and egg man is a man who sells butter and eggs, apparently. Here we go. Now for something completely different, as they say. This is another record by somebody who has made a lot of money in the States, and it's Annie Ross. Annie was had a very strange career. She started out, she claims to be Scottish. Her parents were Scottish, but she was actually born in Surrey, and her brother was the Scottish comedian Jimmy Logan. But for reasons I've never been terribly certain about, she was taken off to Hollywood when she was about 8 years old by her aunt, and she became a child star. Then she ended up in Paris, where she was married for a brief period to the drummer with the Modern Jazz Quartet. Then she came back over here and opened a nightclub. She's still going. She's, I think, 84 years old, lives in New York, and apparently she still sings twice a week in cabaret. She is a very, very good singer indeed. This is from one of her early records. It's her version of I Love Paris, and she's accompanied by a drummer who's playing the piano.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer when it sizzles. I love Paris every moment. Because my love is here. I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I like it when it drizzles.
Okay, and now for something completely different yet again. This is a recording by John McLaughlin, and the reason why I like it is that all of the guys who played on this were very young at the time. It was made in 1969, and they went on to have hugely successful careers because they were encouraged by various people. We're trying to do that in Dartmouth. We've recently reopened the youth club at Ivy Lane. It was closed down in the cuts which have been forced on everybody by the Devon County Council, but they gave us the building, and we as Dartmouth Town Council have reinstated the youth services there one night a week. I'm afraid so far we've not featured any jazz there, but if I have my way, we certainly will at some stage in the future. The John McLaughlin record is called Extrapolation. McLaughlin himself went on to work with Miles Davis, yet another British artist doing very well in the States. And he's accompanied by John Sermon, who at the time, he's a baritone sax player, probably the best in the world right now. When this record was made, he was still wearing his school uniform. The drummer is a fierce Yorkshireman called Tony Oxley. And the whole thing, let's just say, is completely different to what you would normally expect to hear on a jazz programme.
Well, that's a little surreal. I'm not sure I can imagine people in the Ivy Lane Youth Club dancing to that.
Oh, I'm sure they can. You can dance to anything if you try.
One of the things that I've really started to notice is that there's a resurgence of very high-quality musicians. You know, if you look at the Americana and country and Western world, what's happening there is that young people are starting to learn the guitar young. You know, I met a young guy here recently, Wes Richmond. He's joined our team. He is a film critic. He's also a great guitarist, and he was taught by Chaz Thorogood. There is a resurgence of interest in people learning instruments and actually starting to play properly again. Do you think this club down at Ivy Lane could be a bit of a crucible for that kind of activity?
I'd like to think it could. What we've got in Ivy Lane at the moment is a recording studio, and we're about to upgrade it. We've also got a lot of musical instruments, including a full drum kit. So they're there for anybody to try. And if people want to come along, individuals or bands, and rehearse, we can find the facilities for them. If they want to come along and actually make some records, we can cut CDs for them. We can do everything. So it's worth thinking about. It's not a conventional youth club in that sense.
So, I mean, we're developing quite an exciting arts project at the Radio Dart Cafe Lounge. It'd be good to work with you on that. One of the things we're very keen to do is to, find the kind of people that you're working with, support them to produce their albums and produce their art with, professional support. But also, obviously, what we want to do is to talk to them, interview them about the work that they're doing, and promote them, get them out there. You know, so many people are listening to internet radio now, and of course, as I'm sure you're aware, we're all sharing our programs. And you know, last night, for example, we had an internet radio station in Glasgow playing two of our shows. So it'd be quite an interesting relationship that could emerge between, Radio Dart Cafe Lounge and the youth club.
Absolutely. We're very keen on doing that because, as you know, Rob Lyon, our mayor, is the president and the founder of the Dart Music Festival. So Rob is always interested in music. We've got lots of contacts. So I'm hoping we can develop that side of it very much. We're going to move on to another record now. And this one is... I've forgotten what it is. It's... Okay, this one is by Acca Bilk. Now, this is the Acca Bilk record that nobody ever knew existed because it is so unusual. You're used to him standing there in a bowler hat and a striped waistcoat playing the clarinet with the banjo clunking away in the background. And he was very good at that. I have no problem with a jazz musician earning good money. But he was an incredibly good clarinetist, and he also had a great taste for the music of Duke Ellington. And he eventually put together a record which was called Blue Acca, where Stan Tracy, the great British modern jazz pianist, provided the musical accompaniment. Stan was so impressed by Acca Bilk that when he made his next record, which was called Love You Madly, and a tribute to Duke Ellington, he included Bilk in the band. This track you're going to hear is an Ellington composition called Blues with a Feeling. There's a string of solos, which is just about the cream of British jazz at the time. The first solo is by the tenor sax player Don Rendell. The second solo is by the trumpeter Ian Carr. Then we hear Stan Tracy himself on piano. Then Joe Harriott, wonderful West Indian alto sax player. And then finally Tony Coe with a rather strange solo. But it's worth hearing.
an encyclopedic memory here for jazz. How on earth do you remember it all? And you know, where's it all come from? I can almost imagine you as a child just sitting there absorbing the encyclopedia of jazz. I mean, that's what Julia did with the Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's paid off.
I haven't got an encyclopedic memory. I just make things up. If I don't know the answer, I just invent it. And the jazz is so obscure that nobody will ever know the difference.
I was talking about you as a jazz man, not a counsellor.
Oh, now that's hitting above the belt.
Brilliant.
Okay, the Oh dear! Don't try working with this man. He's terrible. The next one is also by Stan Tracy. A couple of programs back, I played part of his jazz suite that's based on Dylan Thomas's Under Milk Wood. This is another track from it. It's very short. It features saxophone solo by Bobby Wellens, who's from Glasgow, and Bobby's still going to this day. And it is regarded by many people as one of the best ever British jazz solos of all time. And I think they're probably right. And you, after hearing this, will agree, because that is an order. Mm-hmm. We have reached the last record. I know you're going to be very sorry to hear that. We could go on all night. It would be well worth doing it, but honestly, we haven't quite got the spare time. But we're going to play a record by a musician with strong local connections, and that's Mike Westbrook. Westbrook was born in High Wycombe, but he moved down to Plymouth in the late 1950s and put his first band together at Plymouth Arts Centre. Then they moved to London, and he has been the toast of Europe ever since. Unfortunately, in this country, you've heard the phrase prophet without honour. He's not quite as well regarded as he is in the rest of Europe. He can fill any concert hall in Paris or Barcelona or Milan. He has written ballet music, he's written suites, very, very long pieces, short pieces, set Shakespeare and Blake to music. He's done an incredible amount of work. He's now in semi-retirement, living in Tynmouth. I first saw him play in the moat of the Tower of London. Not that it was full of water. let's have that clearly understood. It's grassed over now. But that was the first place I ever saw him play. And that's going back to times I don't even want to think about. This one is from an album of his called Westbrook Rossini. He came up with the idea that jazz musicians have always improvised to show tunes. And that's been a very common feature, everybody from Louis Armstrong onwards. What Mike did was to take operatic arias and treat them as show tunes. And this is his version of Rossini's most famous piece, the William Tell Overture. And I'm trying desperately not to say Hi-Oh Silver. Right, that was Mike Westbrook, and that was the last record. Thank you very much for having me in your ears. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I hope you have. Even working with Stephen isn't so bad sometimes. Now, he has told me to say that I've enjoyed working with him, and he has also told me to say that we're both going to put our serious hats on at one stage, and we're going to start taking some youth projects forward. Stephen, do you want to say something more?
Yeah, I think that the potential for the young people that you're working with has to be realised. And, you know, my experience is if you dig around, the potential's there. We spoke last week about how, you know, leaders in the town can you know, really facilitate and encourage young people to enter into whole new arenas. And I think we're going to try and do that at the Radio Dart Cafe Lounge, sow the seeds for that, and certainly work in partnership with you to you know, develop the opportunities for the young people that use the Ivy Lane Centre. So good on you for setting that up, but particularly good on you for taking time out to come in to do the jazz show. Your knowledge of the jazz world and the jazz scene is, as I say, encyclopedic, and you know, it's great that we can take advantage of that. Can we look forward to another show in a month's time?
Definitely, yes, I look forward to it.
Okay, David Gent, you're on Radio Dart. I hope you're enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Stand with whole flower.